All right, everybody, if I can get your attention. Well, hi, everybody. We're gonna get started now. If we can get everybody to sit down and maybe quiet down for a minute, that'd be great. Well, this is a fantastic crowd and great turnout tonight. I really appreciate all of you taking some time out of your busy days to come here and join us for the kickoff of the master plan process for the Morro Bay Power Plant site. My name is Scott Graham. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Morro Bay. What sort of precipitated this process is Vistra Energy submitted an application to the city to build a battery energy storage project on the site, and the city's recently adopted general plan about a year ago does require that any development of the site requires a master plan to be prepared. And so this is the first step in that process, and it's great that we have all these, like I said, all these folks that come out to help us with that. We are working with Rincon Consultants on this effort. They'll be facilitating this evening. Ryan Russell, right here with Rincon, is going to kick it off and give you a brief description of what a master plan actually is, describe a little bit about the site, and then walk you through sort of the visioning exercises for this evening. And Ryan, I think I'll turn it over to you.
All right, hi everyone. Thank you for coming tonight. If you didn't get a chance to attend one of the boards around the room, they'll be up all night. They kind of relate to the discussion activities we will be having after I give this presentation. So those are just kind of a preference activity, and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper with the discussion. So on the slide here, if you can see, is the workshop agenda. Sorry. So I'm gonna give a brief presentation right now, and then we'll go into some discussions. And the discussions are going to relate to land uses on the site. They're going to relate to circulation connections and any design preferences you have. And then after, I'll give a brief conclusion and go over some of the next steps of this process. So this is some of the project team we have in attendance. We have Scott here, Community Development Director, Cindy, a Senior Planner with the city. My name's Ryan, I'm the Project Manager. I used to work for the City of Morro Bay as a planning intern back in 2016, I think it was. We also have Lisa and Sarah, planners here with Rincon as well. And I believe we have some folks from Vistra here that might be able to answer any questions on the project site if you have specific questions. So now I'm gonna go into generally what the master plan process is about. Hopefully that answers some of your questions. So what is a master plan? Really, a master plan is a document and tool that guides the vision of an area into the future. So a master plan could cover a large area, could cover, you know, hundreds of acres. It could be a master plan community, or it can cover a specific project site that's small and important to the community itself. Essentially, it's a tool for the public and decision makers to use as development happens in the future and public investments happen, to make sure those investments and developments are in line with the vision of the community for that master plan area. The city itself recently completed the general plan update, and that has a policy in it that requires the preparation of a master plan on the site. If the applicant or property owner submits an application, then a master plan needs to be prepared for the project site. So as you know, the battery storage project is currently going on in the city, and that really triggered the preparation of this master plan. And this is the first community meeting of the master plan process. We're just getting started, and the master plan process is going to be occurring in two phases. So this is phase one. And phase one really is looking at what are the existing conditions and constraints of the site, looking at environmental issues. Those could be soil contamination, biological resources, and that sort of thing. And then the second part of phase one is really taking an overall vision of the community. It's gonna be a conceptual vision of the site under phase one. And then as part of phase two, it's gonna be a more detailed, refined final vision of the site. And that will be implementing certain policies, guidelines and action items to really implement that vision that we've discussed under phase one. And we'll have time for some questions after the presentation. So just a little bit of site history and background. Some of you probably know more about the site than I do, but for those of you who don't, the property itself is 95 acres. About 24 acres of that is the location of the tank farm site, which is where the proposed battery storage project is located. Adjacent to the site is a PG&E switchyard. It's not part of the property itself, but it's something to take into consideration when we're talking about land use discussions and buffers between certain uses. The power plant was built shortly after World War II in the 1950s. It was operational until 2014. It was a thermoelectric power plant, which I think became popular after World War II in California. And then just for some context, the building itself is 9 stories in height, if that helps contextualize anything. Some more site background. So this image here shows the land use map of the site from the city's general plan. There are 2 different land uses and an overlay on the site. Most of the site has a visitor serving commercial land use designation, as you can see in the reddish brown color with the dots. And then there's also an open space land use designation where Kaiser Park is in Morrow Creek. And then there's some environmentally sensitive habitats near Morrow Creek, some along the Embarcadero frontage, and others along the main frontage of the project site, I think due to overwintering and breeding birds there in the trees. Some other constraints on the site, just to mention, the tank farm site currently has restrictions on that for certain uses, so only commercial industrial uses are allowed on that 24-acre parcel due to contamination from the tanks. The rest of the site, or a majority of the site, has a deed restriction placed on it from PG&E that restricts certain uses. I believe, just to mention some of them, I believe it's parks and recreation uses, temporary and long-term housing. But as we're talking about the vision of the site into the future, if you think housing or parks or other types of uses that might be restricted under this deed restriction, we want to know about it because there is the potential for the restrictions to be lifted in the future. But as of now, that's currently in place on the site. So now we're gonna break into some discussion activities. And so these discussion activities are going to relate to each of those board topics. Really, those topics were just the boards were to get your brain kind of going on some of these topics. And we'll dive in deeper in these open discussions. We will have some questions to prompt the discussions, but we just really want to hear your general thoughts on some of these topics. Again, this is, you know, the first part of a master plan process. There's going to be additional workshops, surveys that happen into the future. So so I think how this is going to work, there's a lot of folks here, and I think we only have about 5 or so note takers. So if we can kind of organize into 5 different groups. We'll have different discussions that will last about 30 minutes each about. And then at the end of each discussion, I'll ask each group to kind of summarize to the rest of the group what some of the main talking points were. And then I'll go over some next steps after these discussions. But before we do that, I wanted to see if there is any questions. I think we have a microphone because this is being recorded. So if we could bring the microphone over. I think you just have to turn it on.
Thank you. On? Okay. Two items. One, does the city have any economic development policies that we should be considering to inform our discussions? And second, The general plan says visitors serving commercial uses. Normally, the master plan would have to be consistent with the general plan. So is it possible that through this master plan process where we see land use alternatives like parks, you know, public uses that are not necessarily visitor serving, is it envisioned that we might be amending the general plan depending on what the land use discussions here lead to?
I mean, I could try to answer that. I think most of the uses that at least we place on the board are consistent with the visitor serving commercial. I think, you know, if the community sees a use for a public facility that might not be consistent, I think that will, you know, kind of, when the development comes forward in the future, they'll have to be consistent with the master plan itself and the general plan. But I don't see why a general plan amendment couldn't occur in the future if that's what, you know, the community would like to see for the site.
We don't have any economic development policies that are specific to the site. I would add one thing to the land use change item that you asked about, and that's that part of the application that's into the city for the battery project itself is not a visitor serving commercial use. So in order for that to move forward, if it does — that's not to say that it will, but if it does — then that would also require a land use change and a zoning change. So those are things that are already being contemplated as it relates to the site. So.
Hi there, Bill Martini. I had a question on the 24 acres. You mentioned because of the contamination, the current zoning or the current usage, is that still visitor serving, or you're saying because of the contamination, it's industrial at this point? I was a little confused because I'm hearing both.
Yeah, currently it's visitor serving commercial, but it will need to change its land use to industrial to be consistent with the project itself.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with contamination. That has to do with the project itself.
Correct. The contamination kind of is leading towards what uses can go there, because only industrial commercial uses can go there due to the contamination. But the site itself has visitor serving commercial right
okay,
now.
Okay, but the site can be cleaned up for visitor serving commercial if someone put out the effort. It doesn't have to be industrial. It's only because of the pollution there. Is that my understanding?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then has the city looked at alternative sites for the battery plant rather than in the center by the water? Because there's 150 acres on the east side of town that, you know, is out of the thick of things. And I do know that a battery plant, as long as you have the overhead transmission lines, it can be located any place. Like at the current wastewater treatment plant, we have 30 acres. But I didn't know if that's also in the mix, if there's other locations being looked at for the battery plant.
No,
this is the only spot.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's any other locations being discussed.
Okay, just this particular site.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, again, it's only because of the pollution that it's being considered for the industrial usage.
I think that was probably a factor in that location.
Okay, thank you.
I just had a process question for you. It follows up on the question that was just asked previously over there, which is, I might like to have it be parks and open space and everything else, but parks and open space take money to maintain and to support. And so it really does get to a question of, you know, what economically can be supported here. And I guess I'm a little concerned about just putting dots up on a board. It's like a Chinese menu. What's going to be important is how all this integrates into a conceptual design that has integrity and makes sense to it. And it seems like, I hope your process will at some point get us to those like, hey, here are two or three alternative ways of configuring these things together that would make, at least internally, make sense. Now, which of these look appropriate? So I need to know a little more about how you're approaching this, mm-hmm. and some of the things that are, you know, like John was asking about, what are the constraints of economics and other things of for city operations to take on and make these things happen.
Gotcha. Yeah. So for process, this really is the first workshop. We're just getting started on the master plan. So I agree, and that's exactly how the process is going to work. So we're looking at the constraints. We're getting a general feel for, you know, what uses people want to see on the site, and then we're going to have some detailed discussions after this presentation to really dive into how people feel about certain topics, and we're going to collect all of that data and, like you said, develop certain alternatives, uses, and layouts for the site moving forward into the phase two. And then with regards to the economic question, I'm not really too sure how to answer that. I think as part of phase two, there's gonna be an action plan set up, so certain actions that the city and other folks will need to take to, you know, have this vision of the site, you know, be implemented, and that could be, you know, improvements and investments in certain things.
Hey, so my biggest question is the history of this land, right? Like, we're calling it starting when World War II broke out. I'm pretty sure there was inhabitants enjoying this area far before that. And I understand we all want to input on how we're going to make the city better, but Mother Nature does this on its own. Why aren't we just cleaning it up and allowing Mother Nature to re-inhabit and allowing the birds and the deer and the bear to return? Do we really need to put more sidewalks and bridges and sticks and boxes? I mean, this is awesome, and I appreciate everybody coming out here, but the answer seems clean it up.
Yeah.
Just move forward and start cleaning it all up.
Yeah, we appreciate the feedback, and, you know, when you break out into these different discussions, you know, we'll note, you know, everyone's thoughts on the master plan moving forward.
Yeah, I've got something to add for a moment. My name is Corey Wade. I'm a former Coast Guard engineer, and I worked for PG&E at the Morro Bay Power Plant for a short time, retired at Diablo Canyon Power Plant. The area where the four fuel tanks were, this was basically Bunker C oil. And if anybody remembers back late part, end of World War II, it's basically the fuel oil that ships worked on. And PG&E would operate the power plant at nighttime with the Bunker C oil, the fuel oil. During the day, they would usually shift to natural gas. There's still natural gas there available, but the pollution, the contaminated soil is several feet deep in the whole fuel tank area, and that needs to be addressed as a problem, and I think it's going to be more of an issue later on coming up. That's it for now. Thank you.
Yeah, I think right now we could break into, we can take another question if you have one. But I think we should break into two different discussion groups, and we can take all of these comments and feedbacks as we take notes, and we have maps on the tables that we could, you know, mark some of this feedback down. Do you have a question?
We've had like four other hands raised. So
okay. Yeah, I think some of these questions kind of relate to the discussion that we'll have in these different groups. So, and if your questions aren't answered, then, you know, happy to chat after these breakout discussions. So I think how this will be best worked is if we can kind of form different groups of five. Hello, is this working? Hi, everyone. think we're going to switch over to the next topic right now. Could I get everyone's attention? Hey everyone, before we switch over to the topic of, you know, circulation and how that works, I wanted to have the microphone go around the room to each of these different groups, and if anyone wants to give a brief summary of kind of the main points that you talked about related to land use and that vision for the site, that would be great. Does anyone have the microphone? Oh, okay, we'll start over here on the right.
I was going to look at some of the notes. This bottom.
Hold the mic to your phone.
Absolutely, no problem. One of the main comments was, rather than building something that hides the pollution because you could build over the top, you know, and change the zoning, that the table felt the pollution should be cleaned up no matter what, and that will in turn allow for other options out there. Mentioned as far as the overall site, the 90 plus acres, that some should be dedicated to open space. And of course, I personally noticed there's a lot of Esha property there, so it probably would accommodate that. Then I think a certain amount of the zoning should be dedicated to workforce or affordable housing, because that's number one priority in the city. It's a real important, and this would be an ideal spot. One of the ideal spots, I believe personally, is right next door here. There's about 15 acres that sets up a little higher. It was the old sand pit when they were infilling the Embarcadero as part of the old military base. And it would fit in perfectly because your street stubs feed right into it. But again, where it would be located, but a portion of the property should, I think, be zoned for a certain type of housing. As far as the consensus of the table is, the zoning shouldn't be changed for the battery storage, that there be other better locations on the outskirts of the city that can very well accommodate it. Maybe the city could do a land swap or something by the wastewater treatment plant. They have about 30 acres out there, or some other location. I mean, it's a possibility because, again, you can build a battery storage under any of the high power transmission lines. And that was one of the thoughts of the table. Some type of possible thoughts towards a Native American visitor center or something like that. This was a huge Native American site. When they were building the original plant, there were there was a village, there was graveyards, everything. That whole site is basically 100% Native American. So they, part of the table thought that a portion of it should be, you know, dedicated or set aside for, you know, Native American heritage. The main PG&E building, there had been talk in the past as far as an aquarium, and we thought maybe it'd be a perfect spot to repurpose that building for an aquarium, or maybe at one time was talked maybe turn it into some type of study area for like a college or university for research. It's a beautiful plant. It won a design award. It's all aluminum, but rather than tearing that down, you might rethink it as far as, you know, like I say, aquarium or multi-use aquarium with maybe commercial around it or some type of study center. A boatyard should also be kept in mind as far as a marine service facility. The existing boatyard is inadequate at best, and the city's been looking for 20 years for a boatyard location, and so maybe dedicate a piece of this or zone it for a marine haul-out facility. Parking on the Embarcadero is highly overloaded at the north end. The thought was maybe dedicate a piece or a portion of this for parking off-site and bring the tourists onto the Embarcadero so that the Embarcadero is more walkable, and take the cars, the bulk of them, off the Embarcadero and have more of a parking out on the outskirts. Shuttle service, so it's more pedestrian friendly. The other thought is traffic congestion on the weekends. Some of the table were for putting the bridge across the creek there so that you have a better traffic flow and it's not so congested, you know, as far as coming in from 41 and going across the creek and making sure that you have traffic flow, and also to have a lot more green like they have in Santa Barbara, you know, on the sides of the road where people can picnic and all that, you know, as you come in. Anyone else at the table? Right along? No, thank you.
Any other groups want to give some of their highlights?
Is it me? All right, I'll go pretty quickly here. One option was don't put the best project right there. Land exchange for alternate best site, conference center, honor indigenous folks. There's a possible cemetery in there, possibly a museum. Pacific Wild Care Center and Mammal Rescue are located there. Find them a space on that property to continue doing what they're doing if they want to stay. Possibly an auditorium or outdoor amphitheater, possibly with a roof or heating or some way to keep people warm because it is cold in Morro Bay. A public plaza or Central Park area in whatever that complex becomes. Boatyard potential, public parking structure, possibly paired with a trolley shuttle. Keeping ADA access in mind, of course, with all these things and even going above and beyond in ADA access. Maintaining the view shed so that we have as much from this particular property, seeing towards the being able to look towards the harbor instead of at a 40-foot wall. Public restrooms, maximize them. Community gardens, affordable housing and senior housing. No reason why those can't be there. Keep things natural as much as possible. A playground, not just a small playground, but a potentially huge playground. Possibly using existing industrial buildings, or at the very least, keeping as much tech or wall panels from this outdated museum-like thing so that we can build an energy history museum. Some sort of Morro Bay history museum that we lack, possibly along the same lines as Maritime Museum. Another vote for some sort of boatyard. Another vote for animal rescue, aquarium possibility where the intake building is. An exploratorium-type museum, again, taking advantage of some of that old tech in the existing building, and a possible youth sports field complex, which could bring in youth teams from elsewhere.
Right. I'll just share one idea that we had. Actually, John proposed the idea. He mentioned the city of Monterey and its mixed-use downtown section. We all love that idea. My idea was, you know, I love the aquarium at Monterey Bay Aquarium. I think that's the gem of that whole downtown area. But I don't want to crouch on their thing. I don't want to step on their side of things. What Morro Bay is known for is our birds. And so a large avian facility, a facility that is shared by Pacific Wild Care to rehabilitate animals, that's shared by the university to be a research facility. You know, Monterey can have their aquarium and Morro Bay can have their avian facility. So a mixed use downtown with that as kind of its centerpiece or crown jewel.
Any other groups want to share their thoughts on the land use?
Is this on? Thank you. We're going to tag team. Jesse and I are going to tag team this one. We had a lot of very diverse opinions on this one from our table, but it was a very, really good, productive, and a very respectful discussion. One of the things that we talked about right from the beginning was the history of this particular project. As we all know, the three stacks that went in there about 75 years ago. Now, I know specifically for my family and for a lot of our families in here, and as a little background on this, I'm a Salinan Indian, I'm a Mission Indian. And my family and our families, we watched all of that property dug up. And when it was dug up, we watched all of the artifacts that were dug up. We watched the ancient artifacts. We watched how all of this was stolen. And people, we put them in their homes, they put them in museums, and that was pretty frustrating. And it is set on a lot of our families sitting here on this side of the room for many, many decades. Now, that being said, when it came to the one of our frustrations that a lot of us expressed around this table was we almost felt like that with all of the great placards that are sitting around here, the one placard that was missing in the alternative of a community discussion was the idea of the group and organization that came in here, PG&E, 75 years ago, that built all of these projects, that project down here, the three stacks, is that what about holding them responsible for what they did 75 years ago when they were dishonest to this community, dishonest to our families, and told us the towers would only go so high, and told us there wouldn't be that much going on down there, and they built three towers up there that were a lot higher than they were supposed to be. And when they turned everything on, they had to go out there because there was so much junk coming out of there. They had to repaint all the cars out here. Now, who remembers that? Yeah. There you go. So there's a real concern about the idea of bait and switch in this community. The people here in Morro Bay have been frustrated over that. We talked at great lengths about this one. There was also a feel sitting around this table that in some respects, as much as we hear about this battery plant has a long ways to go in order to be approved because it hasn't been approved, that there is a, and I use this quote directly from this gentleman here, that this is nothing more besides a dog and pony show. And that in actuality, this plant, excuse me, the battery plant in question has already been approved, and why are we even going through this whole thing in the first place? There is a concern over that. We want to make sure from this table that there is a real true discussion amongst the powers that be, and I don't want to pick on elected officials or anything else, but amongst all the people that are going to be making those decisions, that please that you hear our voices out here. That it's not all about saying, gee, we've got a nice map here, let's go ahead and just put the whole thing in because it's such a pretty looking map. I mean, that's not always a solution here, and sometimes you have to go back to the table and start over again and say, wait a minute, this is our property out here. This is property that belonged to a lot of different factions over the last 100, 200 years, and that needs to be taken into consideration. Now, hold this. I'm getting old, so I have to put on glasses now. There was a lot of discussion here over the battery project site itself. Can it be moved to another location in this community? Does it have to be on this particular piece of property? What are the alternatives around this community? If we're going to do something like this, this table talked a lot about not doing such facilities as hotels or anything else like that, but allowing a lot of this property to go back to the open space, to the original view of the whole thing, to what this was 75, 100, 150 years ago. We talked extensively around this table about we don't want to be the next Monterey and Carmel. We don't. If I wanted to be that, I would live in Monterey and Carmel right now. That we are Morro Bay, and there's a reason why we all like to live here. It's because of this exact community environment. That's why we like to live here. That's why our families are here. That's what brought us here. We don't want to be another Monterey or Carmel. We're not getting up every day and saying, geez, if we could only expand out and turn this into this, you know, geez, if we can only be like Carmel. No, we're all saying, hey, we want to be Morro Bay. There's a reason why people come here by the droves on the weekends, because they love this community too. There's a reason why people who live here, we don't go somewhere else for our weekend vacations. We actually stay here and just go down to the beach because we love it here so much. And we get our Dolly's Donuts too. A lot of us talked about that we'd like to see the site cleaned up. If the community does go forward with a battery storage plant on this, that we'd like to see the rest of it cleaned up. We'd like to see it turned back over to its original space in the first place. We talked about the parking concerns, landscaping, potential landscaping that could go on out there. But primarily the thing that we really drove home more than anything, that we really talked about was the idea of bringing this back to its original, how this was 75, 100 years ago. Why isn't that one of the options on these boards? And that was one of the biggest concerns that all of us have been talking about. Why isn't that one of the alternatives? Why isn't PG&E in this room here tonight talking about the amount of money that they've made over the last 75 years, and why aren't they giving something back to us besides the tax dollars they paid? And why aren't they coming in here and saying, we want to be a part of the solution. Thank you for all the money that we've made. Now we want to take some of that money and help you guys clean it up and give it back to the people of Morro Bay. And that was one of the biggest discussions that we had around this table.
Well, it's going to be hard to speak after Michael, but just to say a few broad conceptual ideas were returning to nature and honoring the beauty of small Morro Bay. And I think that echoes around the room. That we're not totally set on the site for the batteries, and it's such a special place. It would be a shame to have it entirely taken up by batteries when there are so many other great ideas floating around in the room. So that was definitely what came up in our conversation. That's all.
I think we might have a little bit of time for one more, but we should probably... Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I came to Morro Bay, but... Am I on? Oh, hi, everybody. I came to Morro Bay because I loved it, and I came from the Morro Bay, and... It's beautiful, and there's one thing. I spent 40 years on the space program under the classified satellites and working on the space station, and my job was a failure analysis engineer. Now, I spent 12 years in research at Autonetics, we're putting the man on the moon, and one PhD told me, and I never forgot it. Things could be well built, and I got papers here from all over the world that have done my research. The something can be well built. Somebody's going to do something stupid. And when it's stupid, you're going to have a problem. Now, remember what has happened over here at Vanguard? A rocket blew up? That's a well-established rocket. Somebody did something stupid. They can't do that over in Florida. They can't launch that yet because there's a hydrogen leak. Somebody's did something stupid. They made this thing wrong. Now, let's get back to the lithium battery storage system. The lithium battery storage system is the worst thing that can do to Morro Bay because of its disastrous material that's put into it. Now, I've done my journalism all over the world, and there's safety issues. We're close to proximity to Morro Bay. Dirty mining materials, not clean or safe energy, no battery store. Lithium batteries are sensitive and concerned with a huge fire risk and earthquakes. What if we have an earthquake? Now, Moss Landing has been shut down 3 times because they had fires. Now, the water was able to put it out. What happens if we have a serious earthquake and the water lines break? You're going to have an explosion out here you won't even believe. Now, over here, I have a picture. South Korea had 23 of those same kind of, blew up. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't belong here. We got a high school next door. We got the community all around us. We got an estuary out here. And those batteries have toxic material in it called cobalt for the anode and cathode. Now, if you have an explosion and that cathode gets loose, it's going to, you think about a disaster in the estuary, it'll kill everything in its sight. We're going to have to evacuate. Now, how are we going to evacuate 10,000 people in a hurry? And then we got tourists over here. So, Hunter, and I've been on this. I've been writing papers and talking to a lot of people. Here's a bunker right here. This is the picture. It's not a false picture. It's a true picture. 23 of these things blew up in South Korea. Norway has problems. Germany's having problems all the time with their cars. Look at the Tesla. Can you board a plane nowadays when they say, do you have any batteries in your luggage? If you do, you can't put your luggage in the apartment. So anyway, I've said my spiel, and if you haven't heard from me, you're going to hear from me more and more, because I could go on and on. I am so, being a fair analysis engineer, I've seen it all in the space program. And so the reason I'm keep mentioning me in the fair analysis is because we have well-established technology. Somebody's done something stupid. My job is to go into the company and do the research. Why did that part fail? Because somebody did something stupid. Anyway.
Can we keep the comments to just a general summary of the overall, like, table?
Yeah, first of all, what we looked at was I can't stand up right now, okay? They can hear me sitting down. There's three batteries that will go into the site. The site where the four fuel oil tanks are located, the ground is already contaminated with the fuel oil. Okay, furthermore, the area that they want to use, which is the old substation switching area for the power plant, is contaminated from oil from transformers, okay? The whole area is marked industrial for a reason, because it's all contaminated. The power plant needs to come down first and monitored correctly and dismantled correctly. $3 million will not do it. That's what the company wants to pay Morrill Bay, and they're telling Morrill Bay, we'll give you $3 million, but maybe we won't have time to take the power plant down. Maybe we'll just leave it there and you'll get $3 million anyway, okay? So what we basically decided was that where the fuel oil tanks were, that area needs to be monitored environmentally and seen if it can be cleaned up properly, and the whole area and the power plant needs to be dismantled, cleaned up properly with all the environmental concerns. And after that, they need to decide if it is in fact clean, then maybe pursue with the right public input and go from there. Okay, thank you.
I think we have time for maybe one more summary from a table.
All right, thank you. I don't know that our table really reached consensus on much. We had a lot of good discussion, though, about what should be out there. I think there was a consensus about it being an iconic location. I think we had discussion on maintaining the open space areas, maybe enhancing them in some way. We talked about really not focusing on the heavy visitor-serving commercial uses and maybe other commercial uses that could be there. Some of the ideas that came up were maybe some sort of college related to marine functions, or maybe electric power grid type stuff, things that focus on things that maybe not have in the area, like building off the wind farm concept, things like that that have been obviously talked about recently. What else did we have? We talked about maybe some industrial uses that could be out there. Boat haul out facility was one that came up on some of the other tables. Maybe a boat building facility there. It might be enhanced, kind of the feeling of Morrill Bay, right? The working waterfront, those types of things. And then maybe even a fish processing, facility of some sort and on the site might be something that could be considered. And those were all sort of, again, smaller, less intense uses for the site that didn't generate as much, say, traffic, because I think a lot of folks are concerned about it. I think I heard a lot of the similar comments from the other tables. So that was about the extent of what I came up with. I don't know if anybody else is, everybody's kind of half smiling at me and nodding, so we'll go with that.
uh,
All right, thanks everyone. And now if we can just switch the discussion from just the general use of the site to a topic of circulation connections. So how do people see the east and the west side of the Embarcadero being connected? And how do people see the frontage being improved? And then I think someone brought up the fact about the bridge expansion. So let's change topics to just some about general circulation and pedestrian improvements. And then if anyone's taking notes that they have, we would love to collect those afterwards, just so we can have those for our records, so we can compile everyone's notes, if that's okay. All right, thanks. Where would that go? I guess it was. Could I have everyone's attention, please? Thanks, Sarah. I just wanted to kind of do a similar thing as we did with land use, but since it's already 8 o'clock, maybe keep some of the summaries a little quicker. But I just wanted to hear what all the groups had to say regarding circulation connections and pedestrian improvements in the area. So if anyone wants to volunteer first, same order.
Yeah, we may be repeating ourselves a little bit, but circulation-wise, connecting the bridge so the traffic flows, you know, and you have take the pressure off the Embarcadero, and also as far as the proposal for parking, you know, on the northern end of the Embarcadero where it hits the creek there, and have some sort of transportation so it's more pedestrian friendly on the Embarcadero. The other thought was to have where a lot of the parking is at the northern end, you know, across from the harbor office and on the other side by Breezyanne, and that to soften that and put in more like green space, you know, grass and that, take the parking off the Embarcadero at that point so that there's more room for pedestrians and bicycles and the surreys and the, so mainly soften and put the parking at up by where the current walkable bridge is, double the size and have that bridge for an exit and more green space in that area and less parking. That's on the northern end of the Embarcadero. And I don't know if anyone else has anything else.
I'll just point out about five or six things that we talked about. Regarding the bicycle bridge, actually, the slight majority of this table felt that that bridge is more of a bicycle pedestrian asset than we consider it possibly, and we need it to stay that if we want to consider ourselves a sort of a bike mecca that some of us are aspiring to. There was talk of a parking structure on the Uvistra facility somewhere around where the current main building is, or a little bit east of that, to keep it off of Embarcadero as much as possible. There were concerns about egress in the event of a disaster of some kind, and also circulation in general, and making sure that there is an east-west like pathway towards Highway 1, whether it enters onto Highway 1 or at least enters onto Main Street and perhaps near Lilla Kaiser as well. So there are more pathways going east. That was the focus more than pathways coming west, which we already know cars are going to come west. And let's see what else. Take more advantage of the entry point by the Maritime Museum, the dirt parking lot there, and have that possibly be a car entryway onto the property. And then, like the last group mentioned, possibly between Maritime Museum and the current Vistra entrance, having some sort of pedestrian greenbelt walking path against what is currently the Vistra west wall. That's it.
Thank you. I'll try to summarize what we talked about, and it would be a little bit distinctive from what the other two groups talked about, specifically 41 and 1, trying to work on expanding the scope of this to integrate some of that activity to make that interchange better, more efficient for traffic flow. But really, we focused on pedestrian along the Embarcadero to see what we could do to get the cars out of there, really. Have a remote parking, maybe even where the current tanks are or somewhere else. And then some focus and talk on the rock, the base there with the traffic that we have. Maybe enhance our trolley system so that it's more up and down. And maybe even look at some water taxi activity as well. So a lot what the other groups talked about, but really just trying to get the traffic out of the Embarcadero.
Thank you. Anyone else want to summarize what we talked about?
We were all in agreement that we want to improve fluidity and reduce a congestion from events. So that means more connections to the Embarcadero and on all vehicle styles. There was a consensus that it would be less cars, and lighting is an important issue because it is dark in some of the areas, and there are issues of safety. That's all.
Scott may have more, but I'll just say a quick thing that came up for our table, in addition to much of what's been mentioned here, was concerns about the Radcliffe Road interchange with Main Street, and that anything that increases traffic to or from the waterfront, you know, even if we had different access roads in and out from the power plant site, would heavily, heavily impact that neighborhood, which is already having trouble getting in and out of the road. So any traffic plan that was going to be considered would really have to look at that. We also had a minor little discussion about if there was a road that connected Highway 41 and the Embarcadero across that bridge, considering some kind of small roundabout to keep the traffic flowing, especially at that little elbow, Pullman and Embarcadero, okay. So that you don't have too much traffic crossing and trying to do left turns, so having a little more of a flow, so.
Okay. Yeah, thanks everyone for sharing. It's about 8:10, so the last kind of discussion I wanted the groups to have was related to design. So if something is going to go on the site, what type of architecture style would you like to see? Something to consider is the city does have a downtown waterfront strategic plan, which was, you know, a pretty big process that outlines design guidelines for the Embarcadero area. So do you see those extending into the site, or do you see that site having a unique kind of style, maybe related to the industrial nature? But yeah, so maybe about 10 minutes or so discussing some design options, and then I'll wrap it up with some next steps. All right, thanks everyone. It's pretty close to 8:30, so if anyone has any, you know, things they want to discuss with the group related to some of the design discussions, we can go around. Yeah, maybe some, you know, really good ideas that some groups have talked about.
Okay. Yeah, just this table real quick. Yeah, I'll get off the mic here quick. First off, I think we thought that it's very early to tell, you know, like what color of the building, what facade or that, when you don't even know.
Sure.
Too close.
You have to hold it up right
here. Gotcha. So I think it's too early in the game to say, you know, I mean, if you're going to have an industrial battery park, should it look like, you know, block buildings? But we really don't know what is going in. I think along the Embarcadero, on the other side, we did say that it probably should carry the theme of the waterfront, you know, the working waterfront along that strip. And other than that, the area that possibly would work for if it went into R1 zoning or housing, which is right next door here, then to carry the existing Morro Bay general plan on design so it would blend with this existing neighborhood. But when it comes to the remainder of the property to say, you know, what color of the building, what should it be, modern, should it be, you know, country western or whatever, I think it's just too early, you know, and that's the consensus of this table. Thanks.
Thank you.
We talked about a number of different ideas, but one of the thoughts that was coming through was, you know, making sure that the materials and the design and appearance of it really sort of fits with the place. We were highlighting that probably the last significant design effort made for Morro Bay in a planning way for a structure was the plans around the aquarium. And although the aquarium isn't going through in the location that it was designed for, it has some very good design elements that pick up local, you know, colors and coastal features and opportunities to kind of look through the structure and whatever else that made it attractive, and that we could probably work with the natural grade of the property to be able to sort of nestle structures or things in it without them looking necessarily huge and massive. So there's some interesting opportunities, but again, you know, design would follow function in some respects, and we have to marry those two up. And as we heard tonight, there's a lot of different views about what the function of that property should be. And of course, that leads to a lot of different design options to look at.
Thanks.
Hi there, everyone. This is Anthony from AGP Video. You can do us a huge favor as far as being able to capture the person who is speaking for the tables. Please stand if you are going to be speaking representing your table, and please speak into the mic, giving an inch or two between you and the mic so we can capture what you're saying, please. Thank you.
Okay. Whoever you are, thank you.
We are in the control room.
Thank you to our control room. One of the things that we talked about at our table was the importance of thinking outside of the box. It's very easy to look at any of these projects like this and say, well, should we be doing something that is, I think the phrase was country or, you know, whatever it is. What we talked about is thinking differently and saying in terms of make something that's uniquely Morro Bay. All of us, I would assume, at one level or another, have traveled across this country or around the world, and we have seen those unique amenities all across this country and around the world that make those places unique, that are one in a million. If you're going to do something to this property, we're not looking for something that is, oh, look, that's really nice, it has a Spanish motif to it. No. What we're looking for something out here in Morro Bay is unique to Morro Bay, something that makes people travel from all over this country and all around the world and say, that is a great project. It is unique, it is artistically unique, it's unique to the people and to the culture and to this region of Central California. That's what we're looking for. I'm not an artist. Sadly, I'm an engineer. I can draw you a line. That's about it. But outside of that, it's getting some really sharp people in here and saying, let's do something that's unique for all of us and is respectful to this community. I want to see something that's out there that's just that unique, that we see from all around the world. Do something here for the people of Morro Bay. We deserve it. After everything that's been going on down there for 75 years, we want something that we can all be uniquely proud of. That's what we're looking for at this table.
We had a lot of, I think, consensus with some of the other tables. We thought it was very important to have continuity and make connection between the southern part of the Embarcadero up into this, which would, in essence, become the northern part of the Embarcadero. So, the design themes, working waterfront, and so forth, that are inherent in the waterfront plan, to continue those, but to be sure to do it in a way that's appropriate and avoid massive, bulky, alienating kinds of buildings, have a lot of human scale, a lot of diversity, a lot of opportunity for people to walk through and enjoy the space. Using the natural features as much as possible, I think that Don mentioned that. Anything else that I'm missing? Reuse of the, I'm sorry, I got two. Right. Yeah. One example of using the existing features of the site, the existing topography, is to be able to take advantage of views that would be available kind of above the bluff areas, you know, at the higher parts of the site. Maybe making, some pedestrian and, circulation between the upper bluff down to the lower waterfront area, just getting as much use out of those opportunities. And then we also talked about there may be some opportunity to reuse some of the big buildings. Human scale and avoiding massive buildings does not preclude a variety of different uses. An example we talked about was how much and how big happens at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, but it's not a big, massive structure. But there's plenty of opportunity to have a variety of uses in the kind of building shapes and styles, the human scale that is already starting to happen in the lower Embarcadero.
Thank you. Anyone else want to summarize quickly, or if not, I can go on to next steps. I know it's probably a little past 8:30 already. All right. Well, just quickly going over some of the next steps for the process. So obviously we'll be compiling all of the information and feedback we got tonight. We'll be doing a community survey shortly. And we'll let the email list know if you signed in tonight, we'll notify you when the survey is available. And really, it'll be similar topics as tonight, so anyone who wasn't able to make the meeting tonight will be able to give their own feedback. Then we'll be compiling the input, looking at all of the constraints, so looking at all the technical studies being done for the project site, and coming back with more detailed alternatives.
for the vision of the property. And yeah, and then we'll have a second workshop. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't put your email there and you want to be notified for future meetings, feel free to add that to the list. Yeah.
Approximate timeline when the second workshop will be available?
I'll have to check the schedule. I don't know that off the top of my head.
6-8 weeks.
Probably longer, a little bit longer than that. But I can take your name down and let you know later.
No problem.
Okay. And yeah, so that was basically it. On the slide here is some emails. So if you have any questions or want to reach out to us, there's Scott, Cindy, and my email there. So feel free to add any comments. And for anyone who took notes that weren't part of us, could you please give them to Sarah? She has.